Our next item, six uncontested items. Do we have any of our board members questions on these items? Yes, Mr. Jeffrey.
I don't have a question, Mr. Chair, but I just want to speak briefly to item number 11. It's dealing with the Salinas Valley and the PG&E settlement. I know there's only $118,000 left in that particular fund. It's not much money to do much of anything anymore, but I would just urge that that money would be used to whatever organization that applies and is awarded to be used in the locality of the Elkhorn Slough and the Moss Landing area, because that's where the settlement funds came from. And there's a lot of areas that could use that in the Las Lomas, the Aromas, and the surrounding Elkhorn Slough area. The majority of those funds that we originally acquired were given to the Elkhorn Slough Foundation to acquire agriculture land for the to reduce the nitrate contamination into the Elkhorn Slough. So I would just urge the staff to be sure that they pick a organization that would use those funds in that particular area. And I support the effort.
Thank you. Mr. Johnston.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I understand what Mr. Jeffries is talking about. I would point out, and I'm just digging through my paperwork and not seeing it, that the Environmental Justice Coalition for Water, which is slated to receive, I believe, half of these funds on the consent agenda, is focusing on three communities. It's not much money. And one of the communities is that, I don't recall the name of it, but it's that little community right behind the gas station as you come south down into Moss Landing. And they're a community on a well with a real nitrate problem. And so there is a significant chunk of this that is going to stuff immediately adjacent to Elkhorn Slough.
That's all my comments for the support there.
Thank you for the clarification, Mr. Johnston. I'm quite impressed that you get this down to street corners level. That's better than a GPS.
It's our backyard.
All right. Right. Mr. Young, any input?
Nope. Mr. Chair, I'd move approval of the uncontested items 7 through 12. Then.
I have just one question. And a little reminder also, make sure if we have speaker cards that we promptly pass them out to Mrs. Olson. That way I can also keep track of the amount of time allocation for the speaker cards. Thank you very much. And I do have a couple of questions, and I apologize because I did a more in-depth review of the uncontested items, and brought to my attention a couple of questions. One of them is on item 7. Item number 7, my question really applies also to 8 and 9 also. In the renewal of the NPDES, we do have basically a reset of some of the various requirements. And if we look at the item pertaining to proper operation and maintenance of a facility, it is basically the same language as in the previous permits. And the operation and maintenance is basically an 8-line item. Yet, the NPDES language is usually over 100 pages. And I recall that we had revised the operation and maintenance language for NPDES for water treatment plants. And so my question is, why, since this is a new NPDES with some new requirements, it does not trigger the enhanced version we have of the operation and maintenance?
So I think we did deal with the electrical aspects. You're thinking in more general terms of general operations and maintenance.
The enhanced version covers both electrical and mechanical. It makes reference to specific ANSI standards.
It does, and actually that's in the standard provisions section. So there's the federal standard provisions, I think it's attachment D, and then there's the federal, and then there's the Central Coast specific.
Right.
And so the ones that we had talked about, I guess about a year ago, those are included in that section of the permits, and that's incorporated within the permits. So they are required to follow those specific requirements.
Okay, and then that particular language is not in this document.
Oh, it should be. It should be attachment D.
I didn't find it. Under D.
Sheila, would you...
we'll verify that.
No, no. Would you state your name, please, for the record?
I'm sorry. I'm Sheila Soderberg. It's page 43, 11, and 12. Thank you.
And it may be, you know, my oversight, but I looked at the section D, and it basically consistently had only this eight-line item.
Well, I think it's actually the way some of these permits are written is that the permit itself, the first section, is pretty general. It has specific issues, and then it also has some general items. And then it refers back to the different appendices. But that whole package together is considered their NPDES permit. So yeah. They are required to follow everything in that permit.
Yeah. If I could help staff, I have one example, which is for, if you look at item 8, okay, and look at page 28 of item 8, which is the attachment D, on proper operation and maintenance, it makes reference to the CFR regs, but that's it. So go. No, this here.
It's page 38. Dr. Wolf, is Harvey Packard. If on that same permit, number 8, if you look at page 38, you'll see the regional board standard provisions, numbers 11 and 12. It's page 28 on item 7.
Just so we're talking about, which permit are we talking about, just to be clear?
Well, he had mentioned the item 8, which is
item 8.
The...
Okay.
Monterey Regional, and on that one, it's page 38.
38.
Harvey, which attachment are you speaking of?
Attachment 1, item number 8.
Okay. Yeah, I see it.
It's in all three of them.
All right. I zeroed in on section D.
Yeah.
So my apology. Thank you. So then I have one more question, a very easy one, and that's going to be on item 10. And my question on item 10 regarding the landfill, I didn't see any comment about a recycling facility on site. And yes, I do recognize and realize that our permitting relates to water, but if there is a recycling facility that requires segregation of materials, a different location, et cetera, could you comment on that?
Yeah, Martin Fletcher, staff engineer. At the beginning, they have an allowance for having a recycling facility on site, but the recycling facility will remain at the Santa Maria Regional Facility near the Santa Maria River. But there is an allowance through the CEQA process for them to have more recycling facilities and segregation of materials and such, which will have to be addressed if they bring them.
So, but therefore, if I understand you correctly, as it stands right now, this facility is not going to have is not going to be part of a recycling facility. It's strictly going to be landfill.
It will be primarily a waste disposal facility to start, although with every waste disposal facility, you ultimately have some segregation of materials because you're trying to maximize diversion. So.
Okay. Thank you for the clarification. Dr. Hunter?
I have comments on items 7, 8, and 9. Thank you. I just want to note that those three facilities are all coastal, and Monterey and Watsonville continue to rely on ocean discharge. Well, Carmel has achieved some changes in their facility, which allows them to discharge on average 7 days a year to the ocean and recycling most of their water for other uses, which is important. The Carmel River is under order to decrease the use of river water to meet water supply needs for the community. And we know they're doing a great deal of work up there to come into compliance with a state water board order to reduce pumping on the Carmel. I'm just wondering if staff can, if staff has any comments on whether Monterey or Watsonville have any plans to modify and begin to recycle water and hopefully recharge groundwater basins.
This is Katie DeSimone, staff engineer. Actually, Watsonville does currently recycle. They just do it under a separate permit, so it's not quite as spelled out in this NPDES permit, but they do have a separate recycling program.
So I don't know that you would have this kind of detail, but can you tell me what percentage of the wastewater treatment effluent is being recycled?
Not off the top of my head, but I'd be happy to come back.
Harvey Packard. During the summer, both Monterey Regional and Watsonville recycled nearly 100% of their effluent when there's a demand for agricultural uses.
Yeah, I thought that Monterey was doing recycling. Okay.
Monterey Regional is now in the process of developing a project to use recycled water during the winter and other sources of water to recharge groundwater in the Seaside Basin. So they will be diverting even more, especially during the winter months when there's not such a demand from ag.
So the existing permits, which show a continued ocean discharge, remains in the permit while a separate permit is in place for recycled water use. Is that the way
correct
it works?
Correct, right. Both Watsonville and Monterey Regional have separate permits for recycling.
Okay.
Watsonville, for example, the other permit is issued to Pajaro Valley Water Management Agency, which runs the recycling part of the project. It's important, I think, to point out that in these coastal plants, the ocean outfall does remain there, especially important as a disposal point for brine. When they do this recycling, they have to, especially for the groundwater recharge project that Monterey Regional is considering, they've got to do very, very high advanced treatment of the water. It's going to generate brine, and they'll be able to discharge that brine through the ocean outfall.
So let me ask you one more quick question. If they're discharging brine through the ocean outfall, are they required to monitor the salinity levels and any impacts to the ocean?
Yes. Yeah, the requirements are in the permit. They meet all permit requirements, even when they're discharging basically 100% brine.
Yeah, that would be
and that's true, even if we go, when we start having desal plants along the coast, it's only like 5% above background. I mean, it's very, very minor. It's a very, very tight tolerance in terms of how concentrated the brine can be.
And also point out that desal, when you're desalinating seawater, your brine is much, much more concentrated mm-hmm. than when you're desalinating domestic wastewater.
And I think that's one of the, actually I would go even further and say I think that the ocean outfalls are a resource that we want to keep And the Central Coast is actually lucky that we have those, and we don't want to end up in a situation like the Central Valley, who has salt issues, and their problem is they have no way to get rid of brine. I know there's a people are concerned about brine, but I think if it's managed properly, it's something we as a society are going to have to learn to live with in the long term. And I would not support giving up any of the ocean disposals that we currently have along the Central Coast.
Yeah, I agree, and I understand the point made. I think what interests me is in looking at ocean outfall design and what we're learning in desalination, understanding that the point in the water column where that ocean outfall is actually discharging is something that may want to be revisited, because I think at this point we're looking at the difference between disposal that reaches the seafloor as opposed to discharging into the water column at a higher elevation that allows for the dilution of the brine. I don't know where we are in our understanding of the best design and best approach, but I hope that is also in the mix of considering how these ocean outfall systems function relative to discharge of brine.
So disposal of brine, I believe, is covered or will be covered by the state board's policy for their desal policy, mm-hmm. Including the appropriate design and implementation of brine disposal. We will have the responsibility for permitting that, but a lot of that's going to be dictated by the state.
So will
is that your understanding, Mr. Packard?
Correct.
Correct. So for desalination, yes. But if we're talking about the wastewater system discharge.
Well, I think as Mr. Packard pointed out, and I don't know the specifics, but the disposal, because remember the brine can also be mixed with effluent, so it's going to be, as he said, much less concentrated, so you're not going to have these dense plumes of, mm-hmm. of brine going out into the ocean.
Even then, we in these discharges of brine from the water recycling, we do take into account the density and the buoyancy of the
Okay. Well, in the future, I would be very interested to understand whatever changes are moving toward conformance with what we're learning through the desalination mm-hmm. Exploration, because I agree that this is going to be critical to coastal communities. Thank you.
Would you like, I'm certainly sure that a future board meeting, we could have someone from the state board come down and discuss the policy, if you'd like, in brine disposal, because they're the ones that have been working on it, if that's something you'd be interested in.
Yes. Last year, I believe last July, several board members attended a state water board meeting that presented a panel of experts on the desalination issue that have been advising the policy. And it's in the past year, I'm sure there have been many advances in their effort, and it would be, I think, essential for this board to hear where we are with that. So I appreciate that offer.
So I think my colleagues have a couple of questions, and I'll start on my left, Mayor Delgado.
Just very briefly on item 8, the Monterey Regional Wastewater Treatment Plant item, I just want to thank the executive officer and other staff for providing me very comprehensive and prompt responses to my questions on that item.
Thank you. Mr. Jeffrey?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For information for Dr. Hunter, the Monterey Regional recycles agricultural water for approximately 18,000 acre feet into the west of Salinas in the Castroville Moss Landing area. And all the purple pipe that you see there is all treated water from that particular plant. And with that, the farmers have abandoned, I wouldn't say abandoned, but they're not using their wells in the 180-foot aquifer to halt seawater intrusion in the Salinas Valley. Thank you, Chair.
Mr. Johnston?
Yes. Similarly, the Pajaro Valley Water Management Agency project at the Watsonville Wastewater Treatment Plant is pumping the treated water, the recycled water, south to the bluffs between the Pajaro River and Moss Landing. which are an area of extreme concern in terms of seawater intrusion, and they're selling it to the farmers on the bluff there as a substitute for well water to slow down the level of seawater intrusion. Secondly, I have a question on items 8, 9, and 10, and I confess to not having, to this being something that just came to mind. I know that we've been talking about with these coastal wastewater treatment plants, as the permits come up for review, asking that the permitting process consider the effects of sea level rise. And I'm just wondering if we're to the point of implementing that yet, or if that's still kind of online. I know these are periodically reviewed permits and reissued permits, and we just may not be there yet, but I'm curious.
Well, we it was certainly highlighted with Morro Bay, and we continue to talk about it. We are not at the point, in fact, climate change was something that we were going to talk, have a discussion item with the board at some point, and we've talked to Sacramento about it. I mean, it's a concern for all of us, but we have not begun yet to engage in specific conversations with specific wastewater treatment plants.
Thank you.
That's it. All right, and before, okay, one comment more question.
Just a response to that. If we do decide to hold a discussion on that issue, I would urge us to reach out to the city of Santa Cruz, where I believe for at least 2 to 3 years, they have had a staff, dedicated staff, looking at sea level rise and coastal infrastructure, and I'm assuming that would include wastewater, their wastewater system.
What we had talked about was, as we did with the Salinas River this year, the special workshop is possibly next year, the special workshop might focus on climate change and impact on water infrastructure along the Central Coast.
Yeah, in fact, thank you, Mr. Harris, but Dr. Hunter, you know, being representing our board at the climate change forums, that's definitely an item in Sacramento that is highlighted. There are contour maps that have been developed along the coastal areas with computer simulation, looking at worst case, best case, middle of a road scenarios, and also the science behind it. And then lastly, before we move to the next agenda item, you know, the technology is changing quite a bit, Dr. Hunter, so, you know, we're now looking at the use of diffusers to prevent plume formation. There is a lot of research being done at Sandia Lab utilizing what is called a cross-flow technology instead of a more traditional membrane RO system. So it's you know, within 12 months, for example, there's a lot of changes taking place. So I think we can conclude this item, and I'd like to thank staff for providing us all the clarifications.
Mr. Chair, there's a motion on the floor to approve the consent agenda. I will second that.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Question first, Dr.
Yes.
Wolf.
Okay.
Does any member of the public wish us to pull any item off the consent calendar? Do you have any cards?
No.
We did not.
No. All right. So we have a motion to approve your uncontested items. So all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Unanimous. Thank you very much.